Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Now, yesterday we covered this business of the pandemic unemployment payment and people having the payment taken from them for leaving the country because of the current public health emergency. As the time went on, we got even more confused and lots of questions emerging about how it was happening, where it was happening, when it was happening, and what was the legal basis for this practice. We invited Social Protection Minister Heather Humphreys onto this programme today in the hope that she could provide some clarity on this issue. But we've been told by a spokesperson that she is not available to participate. We also put a series of questions into the Department of Social Protection from yesterday afternoon and again throughout this morning and into this afternoon. And we are still awaiting a statement from the Social Protection Department in response to that. But we are joined by Roman Shortall. Good afternoon, Roman.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Very well, Roman, and thank you for your call. Roman, tell me what happened to you when you were going through Dublin Airport last June.
Yeah, on the 13th of June, I was attending. I attended Dublin Airport with my spouse and two children. We had a flight reservation, and basically we went through all the security procedures with the bags, etc., checked in, and we got to the boarding gate, and we noticed that there were two Gardaí and two social welfare inspectors operating a checkpoint in front of the boarding gate. So this was just before where you would show your passport and boarding pass to board the plane. I got to the checkpoint and I was asked by a social welfare inspector for my PPS number and identification. Firstly, I asked her to identify herself, which she did. She showed me her airside pass. I then advised her that if she wants to request my personal details, she had to have reasonable grounds to suspect that I was contravening social welfare legislation. I'd be familiar from my work with social welfare legislation. And I asked her what her reasonable grounds were for requesting these details. And she kind of dismissed what I said. She kind of seemed to be amused by it. And she advised me that leaving the state was reasonable grounds to request the information. I advised her then that this was not a reasonable ground, and I refused to provide the information and documentation that she requested, and I also advised her that my spouse would not provide her PPSN or identification either. She said that was fine, and as I proceeded to the boarding gate, I noticed two uniformed Gardaí approaching us, and they had followed us from behind. They were at the checkpoint as well. They stood in front of us, blocked our path. The male Garda asked me for my passport for the purposes of a passport check. Those were the words that he used. At this stage, I presumed that he was an immigration officer and was exercising his powers under the Immigration Act. So I asked him as well to show me his identification, and he showed me his Garda warrant card. I handed over my passport, as did my spouse. He then began to write down my name and date of birth on some sort of a form, and I advised him that I didn't consent to him processing my data like that, and he said he was entitled to take these details. And I asked as well why nobody else was asked to provide their passports for immigration purposes, because
that's what you thought was happening at that time, yeah.
Yes, because I'd seen other people that were asked for ID and PPS numbers by the inspectors. It wasn't passport check. They weren't using words like that. But when I refused to provide my PPSN and ID. Suddenly it became a passport check. So after I provided the information, the
stop you there, Roman. You were saying you did ask the Garda if he was in immigration, working with the immigration.
No, I didn't. I have to say that I presumed that it was an immigration check because he said passport check. So I presumed that it was that they were exercising their immigration powers. I presumed they were GNIB officers because otherwise, why would they be asking me for my identification?
But when they started writing down your details, did you get clarification on that?
Exactly. That's what I was going to get on to next, is that I had some discussions with them about what exactly they were doing. And the female Garda then advised me that they weren't immigration officers, but that they were seconded to the Special Investigation Unit of the Department of Social Protection, and that they basically they were Gardaí, but that they were also social welfare inspectors under Section 250 of the Act.
Right.
And that was it then. I felt I was kind of treated like some sort of a criminal in front of my kids. I didn't like how I was treated. I didn't like having my path blocked when I was going about my lawful business, boarding a flight. I wasn't committing any crime. So,
was everybody getting on that flight? Where was the flight to, Roman?
The flight, my wife is Romanian. We were flying to Romania for personal reasons to visit basically a terminally ill family member. My wife's originally from Romania, but she's living in Ireland 8 years now, and she's a naturalised Irish citizen.
Were there many people on that flight? Because of course, in June there was a lot of restrictions still in place.
Yes. There was probably, I would say, 70 to 80 people on board the flight. And as I said, every single one of them, from what I saw, because we were actually the last people to board. And I saw everyone being asked by the inspectors for their details, and everybody complied with it. Except me.
Except yourself, indeed.
Yeah.
And you're obviously very familiar with the social welfare code. Do you have a legal background? Or?
Yeah, well, I'm a legal executive. I worked as a legal executive, and that's my area of interest, the social welfare law. I'm a final year LLB law student. And I'm hoping then to qualify as a solicitor or a barrister afterwards. But I would have extensive knowledge of social welfare legislation.
Sorry to cut across you, Roman, but I've just been told that we have a statement from the Department of Social Protection on this point, and it's telling us that social welfare inspectors, including Gardaí, on secondment to the department, have legal powers to carry out these checks as part of the overall control and compliance work they are engaged in on an ongoing basis. These checks have increased since the introduction of the pandemic unemployment payment in March.
Okay, I can reply very briefly to that and to the point. Under Section 250 of the Social Welfare Consolidation Act 2005, which they have referred to in a previous statement, that's Section 250, subsection 16, they are entitled to request the information where they have reasonable grounds to believe that there has been a contravention of the Act. Now, what that means is that if they are investigating someone, they follow them to the airport and say, that's Joe Bloggs, he's claiming such and such a payment, then they could ask him for his CPS number and ID. But they can't operate blanket checkpoints at the airport because there's no legal basis to do so. They must have reasonable grounds on an individual basis to suspect that someone has contravened the Act.
But as you say, in your view, everyone on getting on that flight to Romania that day was being asked for this information.
Every single person was asked. Everyone who was boarding that flight was asked for their PPS number and their ID. It wasn't a selective process. They weren't singling people out. It was a checkpoint where everybody was asked for the details. It was essentially they were fishing for information, but there's no legal basis to do that.
Okay, and just the statement that we've got from the department goes on to tell us that the PUP, that's the pandemic unemployment payment, is not paid to people who are leaving the country to reside elsewhere or who go on holidays abroad. Neither is the payment paid to individuals during a 14-day quarantine period. Goes on to say that the department does not comment on individual cases, because we had asked them to comment on the case that we had heard about yesterday, Kieran Cooney's case, where he had been stopped and had his PUP payment taken off him. Just to be clear, there was no question. You're not on the pandemic unemployment payment.
No, I'm not on the pandemic payment, but my wife's, this is the kind of where they rub salt into the wound, so to speak. When we returned my wife's child benefit payment, which is a payment that every person in the state receives who's lawfully resident here and has children, the universal payment, as you would know.
Indeed.
It was what happened was it didn't go into her bank account. It's €280 per month, goes into everyone's account on the first Tuesday of the month. Didn't go in, and I knew straight away why it didn't go in. I knew from other stories that I had heard that the special investigation unit sent the information to Child Benefit and they stopped the payment. So I rang up and I knew what the answer was going to be, and that was that we had left the state and that we were obliged to inform Child Benefit that we had left the state.
Everyone who has been in receipt of Child Benefit for, according to the department, when we're going off on our 2 weeks holidays, forget about this summer and the essential travel, should have been informing the department that we're going to Costa Del wherever for our two weeks. And if when we didn't, the department could stop our Child Benefit payments.
Yes, and that's what I was told, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing, and I said to the deciding officer on the phone, I said, first of all, you didn't notify us of your decision, which they're obliged to do under, I think it's FI 142 of 2007. They have to notify you if they're making a decision. They have to send a natural justice letter before that to advise you that they're proposing to make a negative decision on your claim and give you an opportunity to make submissions in relation to that.
Go back to your conversations at the airport then. As far as they're concerned, you are a family going on a break. There was no conversation about how long you were going to be away or what the purpose of your visit was. Was there any conversation had about that?
I overheard because the female Garda started talking to my wife and asked us how long are you going away for, and we said, or my wife said, 3 weeks. I heard her saying that. That was the only. It was kind of asked in a friendly way, not in a kind of a interrogative way. It was, you know, where are you going and how long are you going for, while we were showing the passports. There was no questions about, what are you claiming, any payments or anything like that. It was just they were taking everyone's details, and that was it.
And when you came back and you realised that the Child Benefit payment had not arrived in your account as usual, and you called up and you said, what's the story here? Remind us again, what exactly did they tell you in relation to why that payment had been stopped?
They said that you were, I'm trying to remember the word they used, you were identified leaving the state on the 13th of June, and we suspended your payments because we received notification from the Special Investigation Unit that you left the state, and you're obliged to inform us when you leave the state. And I said to the deciding officer, there's not a single person in this country who informs Child Benefit that they're going abroad, and nor do they have to. There's no disqualification from receiving Child Benefit while you're abroad for a holiday. It's not like it's not exactly a social welfare payment, because it's essentially a universal payment that everybody, irrespective of income, gets.
Absolutely. And as we know, of course, just to point out again, that up until that ministerial, a statutory instrument was signed on the 7th of July, if you were drawing the job seekers allowance, or job seekers benefit, I should say, you were entitled to go abroad for a couple of weeks. Yeah, you were entitled to those 2 weeks, and your payments would not be affected by that. Now, that has changed, as we know, because of this new statutory instrument. But I have never heard a suggestion that a child benefit is somehow dependent on you being in the country for the entire 52 weeks of the year.
No, no. And while I do accept that they have carried out checks on flights, say, for example, to the UK and places like that, from what I have heard, and I've actually submitted a Freedom of Information request to get this information, from what I've heard and what I've seen, because there were other flights leaving there to places like France, etc., I believe that they're deliberately targeting flights where there's going to be a big immigrant population on those flights, such as Poland, Romania, Brazil, places like that, that they are deliberately targeting those flights because they are presuming that they're hoping that they'll catch people, non-nationals, who are going back home or for whatever reason.
Yeah, and of course there have been cases where people have fraudulently claimed social welfare benefits in this country while coming back and forth from another jurisdiction, and perhaps their home jurisdiction. So there obviously has to be some arrangements in place for the Gardaí and the social protection inspectors to deal with that.
Yes, and they have those powers where they have reasonable grounds. They have the power to request that information where they have reasonable grounds.
And what is reasonable grounds, Roman, under the Act? What would constitute reasonable grounds?
As far as I know, I don't think it's defined under the Act, but in general, reasonable grounds is that you'd have to have some basis for forming an opinion that there may have been a contravention of the Act. I mean, first of all, you'd have to know who the person is, because you couldn't possibly have reasonable grounds about some random person who, God knows, what sort of social welfare they're claiming. It would be impossible. It's legally impossible in a situation like that to say, you know, this guy looks like he could be receiving job seekers allowance. It's just impossible. The only way they could have reasonable grounds was if they knew in advance, or maybe, I know they have facial recognition software as well in the department. They operate facial recognition software. They've got people like that. But they would have to know who the person was, or at least suspect that looks like Joe Bloggs, and look, I'm investigating him. He's claiming this payment.
Go back to your child benefit situation. Then you contact the department. You, I presume, told them that you profoundly disagreed with what they were saying. But were you able to sort it out? What became of it?
Yeah, I sorted it out. I basically said that, while I didn't agree with what they did, and that I'm fully entitled to go abroad as long as I'm not moving abroad permanently, I said, for the sake of resolving it quickly, I sent in a proof of the boarding passes that we
returned.
And we just got a letter then saying, it's a standard letter that all claimants get actually when they're first approved for child benefit. We got the same letter saying you've been awarded child benefit and payment we made into your bank account at such and such a date. But I haven't left it at that. In relation to what happened, I've made a complaint to the department. I've outlined the fact that there's no legal basis to request or to operate checkpoints where every single person is asked for a PPS number.
Yeah, I mean, just in relation to that, because as I say, that we have that a reference to that in that statement from the Department of Social Protection today, and they are maintaining that they do have the legal right to do this, that they have the ability and that they have enhanced these checks since the pandemic payment came into place?
I think the problem is, and this is, it's no disrespect to any journalists out there, they're not asking the right questions, and maybe it's because they don't know what's happening at the airport. But what they need to ask is, this is the question, what is the legal basis for operating a checkpoint at the airport and asking every single person for their PPS number? What is the legal, where does it say under Section 250 that you can just ask random people for their PPS numbers? The answer is it doesn't. They're not answering the question. They're semi-answering the question. They're saying we have these powers. Of course they have those powers, where they have reasonable grounds to suspect someone's contravening the Act.
I'm reading, but I have the Act here in front of me. I came prepared, Roman.
Yep.
And I have the Act, and I think it refers to, it's 250, Section 16. And it says, a social welfare inspector may, for the purposes of ensuring compliance with the Act, if accompanied by a member of the Garda Síochána in uniform, stop any vehicle in which he or she reasonably suspects is used in the course of employment. Is that not it?
Sorry, Katie. It's actually been amended. There's an amended consolidated version of the Act. If you want, I can read it out to you very briefly. It was amended in 2012, and it's Section 250, subsection 16B A, where while attending at any port for the purposes of ensuring compliance with this Act, the social welfare inspector has reasonable grounds to believe that there has been a contravention of this Act and is accompanied by a member of Garda Síochána, Customs and Excise, or an immigration officer. The social welfare inspector concerned may, and this is another issue actually, on production of his or her certificate of appointment. Nobody produced their certificate of appointment to me, my wife, or anyone from what I saw. Question and make inquiries of a person who is a passenger at the port and is preparing to embark or is embarking from or has landed in the state in relation to any matter that concerns compliance with this Act, and request such a person to produce to that inspector any documents or other information.
Okay.
And it goes on. But the key part is they have to have reasonable grounds to suspect that there's been a contravention of the Act. If you, Katie, turned up to the airport and they've no idea who you are, how could they suspect that you've contravened the Social Welfare Act? It's impossible.
And again, just to remind people that this happened in June, just passed.
Yes, it was on the 13th of June.
Okay, will you stay with us there, please, Roman? Because I want to go to Kieran Cooney, who was with us yesterday and told us his story. And just to remind people, Kieran, are you with us there?
I am indeed, Katie. How are you?
How are you, Kieran? Yeah, just to remind people, in your case, it was the pandemic unemployment payment that was taken from you, that was removed from you. Going over those that legal issue there that Roman raised, just remind us, you were not approached by any social protection inspectors?
No way whatsoever. I was approached by two plainclothes members of An Garda Síochána, who approached me and simply asked to see my ID as they were performing an immigration check. That was all time. There's a statement to come out from the department saying that the department does not have access to travel data, nor does it have access to travel locator forms from any airport or port. And this is completely false, because when my payment was stopped on the fourth or fifth week when I got home, I rang the department. I had to ring the special investigation unit. They were able to tell me down the phone that I had been on a Ryanair flight on the 7th of May at 5:25 p.m. to Glasgow. They were able to tell me that. So the department coming out and saying that they don't have access to travel data is completely false.
Well, we just don't know. To be fair, we just don't know how they got that information, Kieran. We don't know. Could somebody else have called the department and said, you know, I want to let you know that Kieran Cooney got on this flight at this time going to this place?
Well, no one knew I was travelling. Absolutely no one knew I was travelling, only me. So,
Roman.
So Sorry. Hi, Kieran. I'll explain what more than likely happened in Kieran's situation. The two plainclothes officers were probably also seconded to the department, a social welfare inspector, and like what the two uniformed guards did with me, tricked me into providing the information by saying that it was a passport check and, in Kieran's case, an immigration check. What would have happened then is when they took his details, they would have entered them into their own system, the Department of Social Protection system, obtained his PPS number. They can do that with your ID and your date of birth. And they would have forwarded his details, his flight details, to the section that deals with the pandemic unemployment payments. And that's how they stopped this payment.
Well, I don't know if we can use the word tricked there, Roman. Just be careful. We can be just a little bit careful of our language as we are talking about legalities.
What I would say is that, careful. Yeah, I mean, I take your point, but if a guard says immigration check, then I think it's reasonable to presume that they are immigration officers.
Yes, indeed. I mean, that struck us yesterday. We were talking to Kieran as well, that at no time was he informed that this had anything to do with any social protection or social welfare
issue. Was I led to believe that it was to do with my social welfare or my receipt of any payment? I was literally told by the two guards that they were performing an immigration check. Never once did they mention anything to do with the Department of Social Protection. Never once did they say they were in any way working with them. Never once did they say that they were going to be passing on my information to any other government bodies.
Now, we did ask on Garda Síochána for a response to this after we spoke to you yesterday, Kieran. They told us in a statement, this is a Department of Social Protection operation. An Garda Síochána continues to work closely with all government departments and agencies during the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. That's as much as we got, as far as we got
there. What has that got to do with the Department of Social Protection or with my information being passed? They never said to me that they were doing an immigration check. They never said to me that they were doing anything to do with the Department of Social Protection.
And what it's striking, isn't it, that you didn't see any social protection inspectors with them,
none
or there was
whatsoever.
No desk or anything like that?
Nope. None whatsoever. There was two plainclothes female members of An Garda Síochána, and the only thing they had on them was you can often see the Gardaí, they wear the kind of light blue rain jackets, and it has Garda written in big yellow letters on the back, and that's what they were wearing.
And the other thing that struck me about your case, Kieran, was that when you obviously complained when you got back and were attempting to get the pandemic payment restored, you were first of all told that you simply weren't entitled to it because under the rules, if you left the country, you lost your pandemic unemployment payment and there was no entitlement to it to get it restored. That was the end of the story.
I'll read out exactly what that letter said. It said that the reason for this determination is that you are no longer entitled to PUP because you left the country. Eligibility to PUP ceases on departure, and there is no entitlement upon return. That's exactly what the letter said.
Because I noted in another statement from the Department of Social Protection, I think I saw it in the Irish Times today, where they said that you were entitled to reapply once you came back to the country, that you weren't entitled to be paid while you were out of the country, but you could reapply on return. But that seems to completely contradict what you have in black and white there in your letter.
Yeah, well, just on that, the next part of the letter said, this payment is an urgent needs payment as provided for in Section 202 of the Social Welfare Consolidation Act of 2005. It is paid on a weekly basis, and entitlement to the payment, therefore, has to be satisfied on a week-by-week basis. And even when I returned to the country, and I was in the country, and I was still, as a full-time musician, completely unemployed, they told me I was not entitled to the payment.
Yeah, well, I think that might change, actually. The legal basis around that pandemic unemployment payment might be changing today, because that's the reason we were given for the Minister, Heather Humphreys, being unavailable to us, was because she's in the Dáil, where they are introducing legislation today to presumably put all of this on a statutory footing. We'll take a break there. Stay with us, please.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.